We are doing Igeret Hashmad, the Rambam's famous letter to the Jews living in the city of Fez in Morocco. And we will introduce it in a second. I would just like to dedicate our learning today to Sarah Chaya Bat Dani HaKohen. May her neshama have an aliyah. The Jews in Fez were under the Muslim rule, and the authorities at the time declared that every Jew must declare that Islam is the true faith and that Muhammad was a great prophet. And a rabbi of some neighboring congregation, let the Jews of Fez know that in his opinion, they're not considered Jews, and once they declare that Muhammad is for real, so even though in hiding they are performing the mitzvot and they are keeping the Torah, they are doubly sinning in that they are externally declaring that Muhammad is true and internally they are maintaining the Torah. And when the Rambam got word of this and saw the letter that this rabbi published, the Rambam got infuriated, as we will see in this letter, and the Rambam says, I couldn't hold myself back. I had to declare what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And the Rambam wrote this famous letter called Igeret HaShmad, the letter to the Jews who were in a situation of Shmad, where the rulership, the authorities had declared that they must renounce their faith. And the purpose of the authorities' witch hunt against the Jews was really to get them to convert to Islam. And the Rambam is going to write this letter. Initially, the Rambam reacts to what this person wrote, and then the Rambam develops the letter with directives, with instructions to the Jews of the city of Fez. And we will try today, Be'ezrat Hashem, to cover the whole letter. It's not a very long letter, and we will, Be'ezrat Hashem, try to cover it. Amar Moshe Rabbi Maimon Asfaradi Zal. We are learning Igeret Hashmad, an ancient translation. We are learning, this is the one that's printed in the Rav Shilat editions of the Igrot HaRambam, the Rambam's letters. And we are on page Lamed, page 30 of the Rav Shilat edition of Igrot HaRambam. Amar Moshe Rabbi Maimon Asfaradi. Moshe, the son of Rabbi Maimon, the Spaniard, says, Shaol Shal Ish Me'Anshei Doreinu Le'Ish Me'Anshei Chochma. A man from our generation asked one of the wise men, Lefi Dvarav, according to him, meaning either the questioner considered this rabbi wise, or the rabbi in his own eyes was wise, I don't know which one he means. Mimi Shelo Kara Le'em Ma Shekara Al Rov Kilot Yisrael Mizeh Hashmad. He questioned him about the people that what happened to them is something that didn't happen to most congregations of this Shmad. Hashem yevatleo me'Hashem analet. So the Rambam is indicating already that the questioner is asking a rabbi who is not under this decree, and we pray that Hashem will annul this decree. Alinyan Hashmad is this. So he questioned this rabbi about this Shmad. Asher yachichu bo le'odot le'oto ish, that the authorities, the Muslims, forced the Jews to admit that man bishlichuto shehu nevi emet, that he was sent and he is a true prophet. Ha'im yodeh adam bazeh. So this person asked this rabbi, should a person admit to this b'shvil shelo yamut, so that he doesn't get killed? V'itamu banav u'bnotav ben aguim, and then his children, if he dies, then his children will certainly intermarry and be assimilated among the nations. Oim yamut, or is it better that he die? Velo yaid lo haidutei, and he should not give such testimony. He should not say that he accepts that Muhammad is a true prophet. Achar shum chuyav b'torat Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom, being that we are obligated to the Torah of Moshe, our teacher, may he rest in peace. V'haidutei mevi'a la'azov ha'mitzvot kulam, and in essence, if one really says such testimony that Muhammad was a real prophet, then, in essence, that leads one to leave all of the mitzvos entirely. So, which way is right? Vayana nishala ze, and this person who was questioned, and you'll notice the Rambam does not call him a rabbi. He says this person who's considered one of the wise men. He answered, דבר חלוש אין לו טעם, something weak that has no taste, that has no flavor. דיבר בלשון וחיסר בעניין. He said words, but he lacked content. סידר בו דברים נפסדים. He arranged thoughts that are lacking, שאפילו הנשים חסרות המוח לא היו מסדות ככה. That even women who lack a brain wouldn't arrange it like this. So we will, you'll notice how I translated it. I didn't say womankind who lack brain. That he's saying even women who lack brain wouldn't arrange it the way he arranged it. והיינו מסדרים תורף דבריו, and we would arrange really the essence of what he said, אף על פי שהוא ארוך וחלוש ועמוס, even though it is lengthy and weak and toilsome, לולי חמלתנו על החסד אשר נתחסד בו עמנו האל יתעלה, if not for the fact that we really have to care for the kindness that God gave us, כלומר הדיבור בלשון, that God gave us the possibility to speak. As we know, speech is a gift that God gave the human race. And so the Rambam is saying, I would really tell you everything he's saying, but I have to take care myself to value the gift that God gave me, which is speech, so I can't waste it on what he said. כמו שאמר האל יתעלה בתורתו הקדושה, as God said in his holy Torah, מתחסד עלינו, in doing kindness with us, God declares, look what I did for you, mankind. When he speaks to Moshe, he says, מי שם פה לאדם? Who gave this gift of speech, the mouth, to mankind? ולפיכך, and being that it is a God-given gift, ראוי לאדם לחמול על דיבורו, a person should take care and treasure his speech, יותר מחמלתו על ממונו, more than he treasures his money. Meaning, one has to value what one says. Every word is valuable, and we have to take care that we treat our speech as such. ושלא ירבה בדיבור ומעט בעניין. A person shouldn't say many words with little content. וכבר גינה החכם עליו השלום ריבו הדברים ומיעוט העניין. And the wise man, meaning Shlomo HaMelech, already degraded those who say many words with little content. ואמר, and Shlomo HaMelech said, כי בא החלום ברוב עניין, וכל כסיל ברוב דברים. The fool, you hear him trying to get a thought across with many, many words. הלא תראה איך גינו ראי איוב אותו בהרבותו לדבר. Don't you see also the friends of Job, when he spoke a lot, they also degraded him. ואמרו, and they told him, הרוב דברים לא יענה. You think you say so much, you won't get an answer. וימיש שפתיים יצדק, and just because you say a lot, you think you're right. Iyov lo vedat yedaber. Job, you aren't speaking intelligently. You're saying a lot of words, but this isn't intelligence. Ve'arbek mozen, we find many sources like this. Umipnei she'adanu ba'amitat ha'inyan hazeh, and being that we know that this concept is true, ve'lo niskol oto kesichlut ha'ish hazeh, and we won't be foolish with this concept as this person was foolish with this concept. So the Rambam says, if I would quote him, I would be making the same mistake that he made in talking so much. So I'm not going to even bother quoting him. But ראינו להזכיר קצת תורף לשונו. We saw fit to mention a little bit the essence of what he did say. ונחסר מה שזולת זה, and we'll leave out what's aside from this, aside from his point. מפני שאין רואי לענות עליו, because there's really no point. It's not fitting to answer the other things he said. ואף על פי שכל דבריו בהתבוננות אין רואי לענות עליהם. And even though, in essence, if you look closely at what he said, there's nothing that he said that really deserves our answer. But the main points that he said, we will answer. So the Rambam is really saying that what the guy said is valueless. But nonetheless, the Rambam is answering. And the Rambam will explain why in a second. ומזה שהוא אומר, and in that which this fellow says, שמי שהודע בשליחות אותו האיש כבר כפר בהשם אלוקי ישראל, that anyone that admits that that man was sent by God, that means that he is denied the Hashem, the God of Israel. You guys with me?
Yeah.
On the 13th line, yeah? The bottom of page Laman Aleph. 14th. Now we're on the 14th. והביא ראיה על זה מה שאמרו זל, כל המודה בעבודה זרה כחופר בכל תורה כולה. And his proof to this was that our sages taught us, whoever admits to idol worship is denying the Torah of the Torah. So that's what our sages said. If a person accepts idol worship, then in essence he's denying the whole Torah. So he wants to compare that to these people who were forced to declare that Muhammad was a true prophet. ולא היה אצל זה ההיקש, הפרש בין מודה בעבודה זרה בלי אונס, אלא ברצון נפשו, כי ירובם בנבט וחבריו. And this fellow, he's making this comparison, and he doesn't see the difference between someone who readily, willingly accepts idol worship without being forced, to Yerovam ben Nevat and his friends, those people like Yerovam ben Nevat and his friends, uven, and he compares these people who willingly accepted avodah zarah to mi sheyomar al ish mibnei adam shu navi bechech mipachad acherev, to someone who says so and so was a prophet because he is forced for fear of the sword. So he's saying, yeah, the Gemara says that if one willingly accepts avodah zarah, he's in essence denying the whole Torah. But how could you compare that to these people who are being threatened with their life, and they all they have to do is declare that Muhammad is saying the truth? How can you compare the two? This is a sect that's called the Al-Muhadin. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. So the Rambam says, when I saw him say this initially, Amarnu, so we thought, En ruish nitpos alav, ad shenishma kol dvarav. I shouldn't catch him for what he said, till I hear him out. Kmo shamar Shlomo alav shalom, and Shlomo said, Meshiv davar beterem yishma, ivelet ilo uchlima. Whoever responds before he finishes hearing what the other side has to say, it's really shameful for him. V'chasher ibatnu bidvarav od me'at, and when we looked into what he said a little further, Mitzanu omer davar zeleshono. We found him saying something, and here's the quote. Shemi sha'amar ha'davar ahu, that anyone that says this thing, that he accepts that Muhammad is a true prophet, afilu kiyem kol ha'Torah kula baseter bilvad, lo asa davar. Even if he maintained the whole Torah in hiding, he has done nothing. Aval tzarich la'asotah baseter uvagaluy. But a Jew is responsible to perform the Torah in hiding and overtly. Umi sheyeh bagaluy goy uvaseter Yisrael, and someone who in overtly, to the eyes of the people, he behaves like a goy. And in hiding, he is really a Jew. Harei ze goy. He declares, this person is a goy. In ken, says the Rambam, if so, etzel ze hazach basechel, by this person who has such clear thought, en efresh b'shum panim ben mi sheino meshamer shabato mipnei acherev, there's no difference between In under any circumstance, there's no difference between someone who doesn't keep Shabbos for the threat of a sword, uven mi sheino mishamro b'rtzono, and someone who doesn't keep it of his own volition. So the Rambam says, and the Rambam seems to be talking sarcastically about the person. Such a clear mind, I don't think the Rambam meant it literally. He's saying, look at this person, look at what he's saying. He's saying, the criterion is, what are you doing? If overtly, if externally, you are not keeping Shabbos, even though behind closed doors you are keeping Shabbos, so you're a goy. And the Rambam says, how could you say that? How could the guy, what he's saying is, there's no difference between whether you're forced, you're threatened by sword or not. After this we found him saying, כי כשיכנס אחד מן האנוסים בבית תפילתם להתפלל שם, that when one of these people who are forced enters their house of worship, the mosque, to pray there, ואפילו אינו אומר שום דבר, even if he says nothing when he's there, ואחר, and after he has fulfilled his duties, standing in the mosque, making believe he's one of them, ייכנס בביתו, he enters his own home, ויתפלל תפילתו, and he prays his own prayer, שהתפילה ההיא פשע ומוסיף בה. This gentleman claimed that prayer which he says when he's back home, he is adding salt to injury, so to speak. He is adding rebelliousness with that prayer. And when he comes home and prays to Hashem, so this gentleman said, that's a sin in his hand. And he brought proof to this from the words of our sages. Our sages quoted the verse that says in Jeremiah, my nation has performed two evil acts. That they bow to the idol, and then they bow to me. So the Jerusalem Talmud in Sukkah really says such a derivation. that... Let's see what does the Jerusalem Talmud mean. So this man thought it meant that the second someone seems to be worshipping idols, if he's also worshipping Hashem, that's a double sin. And the Rambam says, let's see, is that really what the Jerusalem Talmud meant? Ve'lo haya efresh etzel zeh ha'mefaresh, and there was no difference, there was no distinction by this person who wants to explain, ben mi she'haya meshtachave la'tzelem ve'la'echal al derech kfira, between someone who's bowing to the idol and then bowing to the altar, and really he's doing it in a way that his whole purpose when he bows to the idol and then he turns and bows towards the temple is to deny that the temple is of any value. Leman tameit mikdash Hashem ulchalel et shem kodesho. They were bowing in a mocking way when they turned to the temple and bowed. That's what the Jerusalem Talmud says, they had a double sin, because they were bowing to their idol, and then when they turned to the temple, they were bowing in a fashion that indicated that they were looking to defile the holiness of the temple. The issue is not the hypocrisy. The issue is that the fashion in which they did it was in a way that indicated that they were looking to mock it. They weren't looking to honor it.
Were they mocking because they were fed up with the situation they were put in?
That I don't know. But
they would bow truthfully to the idol and bow truthfully to the temple.
I don't think it was truthfully.
I mean the other way. Sorry.
Truthfully to the idol and mockingly to the temple.
So it was, they weren't doing
right, that's what it seems, right. So the Rambam says this person who compares the people in Fez, the people who are being forced to walk into the mosque and they're doing nothing there, he sees no difference between someone who purposely goes and bows to idols and then bows to God in a fashion that's desecrating the temple. Uven mishi kanes bevayit sheidume la asher yedame leishtadel bigdulat Hashem yitala. That and he sees no distinction between that and someone who walks into a house that people think that in that house they are attempting to elevate Hashem. Velo yizkobo, meaning the Muslims think they're elevating Hashem. They believe that they're doing something right. They don't think they're pagans, these Muslims. And he's walking into their house of worship, their mosque, and they think that they're elevating Hashem. And here we might say that the Rambam is also alluding to the fact that the Rambam holds that the Muslims are not idol worshippers. So they've built a mosque, and in their minds they're elevating Hashem. We say their God is really not idol worship, but at the same time, what they're doing in their mosque is improper. But so their error is in the fashion in which they want to serve Hashem, but that you can't compare it to idol worship. So he's saying, and he's comparing. He sees no difference between those that serve idols and then mock Hashem in their service and this person who enters a house in which they think they're elevating Hashem. Ve'lo yizkobo v'yomar davar sheyehefech hadat b'shum panim. And he doesn't mention or say anything that contradicts the faith in any way. Ve'hu im kol zeh muchach v'achnasato. And on top of that, he is forced to enter this mosque. So he sees no difference between these two. And we found this man also saying, similarly, he said, that anyone who admits that that person, Muhammad, was a prophet, and even though the person is forced to declare that declaration, that person who declares that Muhammad was a prophet is wicked, and he is biblically disqualified from giving testimony. And this man declared based on what the Torah says, Al tashet yadecha im rasha, al tashet rasha et. The Torah says, don't become a partner with, don't extend your hand in partnership with the wicked. And we derive from that, don't let the wicked be a witness. So he says, these people who were forced to declare that Muhammad is a true prophet, they are biblically considered wicked and disqualified for testimony. Right. And when we heard his blaspheme, when we heard his curses, and his lengthy tongue, how he went on and on in foolishness, we said to ourselves, Even so, in Ra'ui, it is not fitting, shenitpos alav, that we should grab him and get upset at what he's saying, ad shenishma sof dvarav, till we hear the conclusion of his words, v'ulai yiyeh kedivrei Shlomo, and maybe in the end it'll be like King Solomon says, sometimes you have things that are tov achrit davar mereshito. The end is much better than the beginning. So we thought maybe that there'll be some redeeming factor in what this person says. And we found that bottom line what he said was shameinim va'arelim da'atam k'mochen sheyamutu ve'lo yodu b'shlichut. That you see, the guy concludes and says, even the Christians, even the uncircumcised ones, they too believe that a person should rather die than accept that Muhammad was a true prophet. V'chasher shamanu ze, and when we heard him say this, hivilanu merov pele, we were scared and stunned. V'amarnu, and we said to ourselves, hamibni en enohim b'Yisrael, what, is there no God in Israel shetzich lilmod mi'ishmaelim v'notzim umanutenu? That we have to learn from what the Muslims say, and the Christians say, the Muslims say, we'll give up our lives and we won't accept Jesus. The Christians say, we'll give up our lives and we won't accept Muhammad. And that's his proof? That's what he brings in a Jewish letter. He's saying, you see, even they're willing to give up their lives. Why? You have to look to them to see what we're supposed to do. And if we'll take that logic and extend it, then we would say that if an idol worshiper is willing to burn his children, son and daughter, to the idol, certainly we should be willing to burn ourselves and our children in the service of God. Let's just use the same fortiori, the same kalvachomer. Woe to the question that we ask, woe to the answer, woe to this kind of conversation. And when we saw how he began, that he brings proof to what he means to say, and he brings proof from something that is really not comparable to the subject at hand. When we saw that he was so foolish to this extent, and ultimately he concluded by showing that in his eyes, really the Christians, the Minim, what they believe is really fitting in his eyes, that's why he's deriving from them, so he's giving them legitimacy. Amarnu, we said to ourselves, Tzadak Tvar Elokim Shamar, what God said is definitely just as God said, Tchilat Tivrei Fiu Sichlut, when someone begins with foolishness, V'achit Piu Holelut Ra'ah, ultimately what he's going to say is foolishness which is evil. So the Rambam really here concludes in quoting from this person, and he says, initially I kept thinking maybe there'll be something good in what he says, but as I went on and on and on, it just got worse and worse. And bottom line, this person is not intelligent and doesn't really, the Rambam doesn't accept anything he's saying. And the Rambam says, and what you should know is, shehadam in lo ledaber v'lidrosh bozne ha'am. A person should not speak or give a speech, a drasha before the nation, till he reviews what he intends to say once and twice and thrice and four times. And he should review it well. And only then should he speak. And so our sages said, may they rest in peace. And they brought proof to this from what the verse says. Then God saw it and told it over. He prepared it and searched after it before he told it. And only after these four preparations, God said it over to man. So this is a medrash. This is number 2 in the source sheet. Our sages say that even God, so to speak, reviewed the Torah 4 times before saying it over to Israel. That's a fascinating medrash. The sages said we should learn from God. From this verse, our sages derived that God, so to speak, reviewed the Torah 4 times before giving it over to Israel. And our sages said, we have to learn from God before a person gives a speech, before he speaks publicly, before you start telling the public something, make sure you've reviewed it many times. This was said over something that someone will speak, a speech. But when it comes to something that a person writes with his hand, a person transcribes, It's fitting before you put something down on paper that you should go over it 1,000 times if only you could. And this person didn't do any of this. But he wrote these lacking thoughts as a first draft. And he didn't think to rewrite them and fix them up. Because these things were without doubt by him. It was something that he thought, I don't have to review this. And he was swift to send them out in the hands of a person that would travel with this letter that this man wrote in every city, in every medina, in every government. And really he darkened the hearts of men. He sent out darkness with that letter, and he really caused darkness to the world. Because in essence, what he was telling the Jews in Fez was, you guys aren't Jews, you guys shouldn't be performing any mitzvot, and if you think you can get away with overtly being Muslim and covertly being Jewish, you should know you're wrong, you're sinning, and then even the mitzvot that you're performing are worthless. You should be giving up your lives, and you should not be accepting this decree. And if you try to get away with being Jewish and hiding, you should know that every mitzvah that you're doing is a sin, and you're not really Jews. And the Rambam says, look what you did. So now let's see. The Rambam now will move forward and give true directives. And now I will begin explaining the great mistake, what this poor man fell in, and what he really did to himself, and he doesn't even know it. And how this man who wrote this letter thought he was performing one mitzvah. And really, in essence, in publicizing this letter, he has many sins. And he quoted things that are really not fitting. And he spoke at length. And so to speak, he followed the tongue of the pen. Meaning his pen flowed and his mind followed. So to speak, he spoke and he let the speech guide his thought and not the thought guide the speech. So the Rambam uses a nice terminology. The Rambam says, and he went after the tongue of his pen. Meaning the pen led the thought process. V'omar, and I will say, Shamfusam b'divrei Rabboteinu Zal. What's famous among the rabbis is, She'Yisrael b'imei Moshe. That the Jewish people in the days of Moshe, Kodim tzitam mitzrayim, before they left Egypt, hifsidu datam, really they lost their religion, veferu brit milah, and they stopped circumcising. Velo haya behem mahul, and there was no one who was circumcised among the Jews, ela shevet Levi. The only ones were the tribe of Levi. Ad sheba mitzvat Pesach, until God gave them the mitzvah of the Paschal offering, ve'amar ha'el le'Moshe, and God said to Moshe, ve'chol ha'el lo yochal bo, anyone who is uncircumcised may not eat from the Paschal offering. Vitzivam, and God commanded them ba'asiyat hamilah, in performing the circumcision. V'chach amru zal, and this is what our sages taught us, Moshe ayamal, Moshe was circumcising, v'Yoshua porea, and Joshua was removing the film, the skin that's under the foreskin, v'Aaron motzetz, and Aaron was doing the metzitza, which was the beginning of the healing process. V'asfu oralot chomarim chomarim, and they had piles of foreskins. And the blood from the Paschal offering would mix with the blood from the circumcisions. And with this they were fit to be redeemed. And that's what God says in prophecy to the prophet Ezekiel. And I passed over you. And I saw you wallowing in your blood. And our sages said, what blood were they wallowing in? The blood of the Paschal offering and the bloods of the circumcisions. Nabu Odzan, and our sages said, Shem Kilkelu Ba'arayot, that the Jewish people in Egypt, they were rampantly promiscuous with prohibited relationships. Lidvar Ha'el, as God says to the prophet, again this is in Ezekiel, Ben Adam Shtaim Nashim Bnotem Achat Ayu. There were two women, the daughters of one woman, and what God was referring to in the prophecy is that there was adultery going on. The people were not faithful, and they were having prohibited relationships. Our sages say that when God commanded the Jewish people the mitzvah of arayos, which women they were prohibited from marrying, the nation was weeping. They had to break up their families because they had married women who they were prohibited to marry. A guy would marry his aunt. He had to divorce her. I mean, they had to separate from her. So the nation was weeping. When they came and said, "We remember the fish," they meant, "We remember the free women we used to have back in Egypt. Now suddenly we're limited." So you see that back in Egypt, they didn't keep the faith. They didn't keep the circumcision. They didn't keep the purity of the family, even in the structure. They were marrying women that they were prohibited. And even though they were in this bad state, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, he said to God, "They won't believe me," as a result of that, God blamed him for this. And God said to him, "How dare you say they won't believe me? They will not have faith. They are believers, the sons of believers." Dichtiv, as the verse later on declares, "Vayamen ha'am," the nation did believe. Uchtiv, and the verse says, "Ve'emin b'ashem," the nation believed in God. Avalata, but God says to Moshe, "You dare say about my Jewish people that they won't believe? You en sofcha la'amin. You ultimately will not believe." Dichtiv, as the verse says, "Ya'an lo emantim bi," being that you did not believe in me. And not only was Moshe punished later, but Moshe was punished on the spot. Moshe Muzal, as our sages said, "Hachoshed b'chsherim," whoever suspects people who are really kosher people, "Lokei b'gufo," he gets punished physically, bodily. Minalan mimoshe, we derive it from Moshe, who said about the Jewish people, they won't believe. And right away, what does God tell him? "Stick your hand in your shirt." And he sticks his hand in his shirt and he kind of takes it out and it's white. And that was a form of punishment for what he had done. So the Rambam is now going to build up the case that this person, not only did he err in what he did, but how dare he open his mouth about the Jewish people. If Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was talking about the Jewish people who were uncircumcised, were committing adultery, didn't keep the faith, and yet when Moshe said, "But they won't believe God," God says, "How dare you say they won't believe? They're not keeping any Torah. They're not keeping anything." Moshe Rabbeinu says, "You're sending me with a new concept that there's a prophet. God told me to tell them. Never happened in the world before." And Moshe says, what seemed to us legitimately, they won't believe. What does God tell them? "How dare you speak that way about the Jewish people?" And Moshe gets punished. And so too, the Jewish people in the days of Eliyahu, "Hayu kulam avdei avodah zarah," they were all serving idols. Beratzon, willfully, they were serving idols. Levad shivat alafim ish, there were only 7,000 men among the Jewish people who were not serving idols. Kmo shamar ha-katuv, as the verse says, "V'yishalti v'yisrael shivat alafim kol abikam asher lo charu laban." God says, "I will leave in Israel, only 7,000 people will remain, all the knees that did not bow to the Baal." God is saying, because everyone else bowed to the Baal, they will be annihilated. So you see that in those times, there were only 7,000 Jews who did not worship the Baal. The im kol zeh, nonetheless, "Kshamad li lamed choval Yisrael b'chorev," when Elio stood before God to speak in attack over Israel at Sinai in Chorev, kmo shamar katuv, as the verse says, "Vayomer," God says to Elio, "Malecha fo Eliyahu," "What are you doing here, Elio?" Bayomer, Elio answers, "Kanoki neti l'Hashem Elokei Tzvakot," "I've been zealous for Hashem, the God of the armies." "Ki azevu v'ritecha b'nei Yisrael," "For the Jews have left your covenant." So our sages tell us, Amalo, God answered him, "Shema b'ritecha?" Maybe it's your covenant with them, Elio. What are you being so zealous for? Amalo, Elio goes on and says, "Et mizbechotecha arasu," "They've destroyed your altars." Amalo, God says to Elio, "Shema mizbechotecha?" Maybe they're your altars, Elio. What are you being so zealous for? Amos, Elio went on and said, "Ve'et nevi'echa hargu v'charev," "They murdered your prophets by sword." Amalo, so God answered him, "Vare atakayam?" Elio, you're still around. What are you being so zealous for? So Elio's just said, they've left the covenant, they've destroyed the altars, they've murdered the prophets, and God's still telling him, "But you're still around. What are you being zealous for?" Amar, so Elio answers, "Vayvater ani levadi," "I alone remain as a prophet." "Vayvakshut nafshi lekachtan," "You know what? They're trying to kill me too." Heshivu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to speak, it seems like Elio is winning the argument. God's telling him, what are you upset about it. Yosef, they want to kill me also. So God answers him, Ad she'atam lamed chova al Yisrael. Before you speak badly, you speak against the Jewish people, lo haya lecha lelamed chova al umot ha'olam. Shouldn't you have first spoken about how the nations of the world are found faulty? Sheyesh lehem ba'aroer 60 batim la'avodah zarah. Go to the city of Aroer. They have 60 houses of worship for idol worship. Utlamed chova al Yisrael. But what you do is come here and tell me about how the Jews are sinning. Shenemar, as the prophet says, Azuvot arei Aroer. God questions, have they stopped serving idol worship in the cities of Aroer? If what you have to do is speak badly, did you have to come and speak badly about my children? What does God tell him? Lech shuv ledarkecha midbar Damascus. Go back. Go back your path. Go back to the desert of Damascus. You're finished as my prophet. Appoint another prophet. Appoint another king. Your job is over, Elio. If what you do is come before me and speak badly about my children, your job is over. Who was he talking badly about? He's talking about what he said was true. They stopped keeping the covenant. They stopped the Brit Milah. They stopped serving Hashem. They were serving idols. And nonetheless, God held it against him that he spoke badly about the Jews. And all this, our sages really explain and is understood over there in that Midrash. We're on page Lamed Vav.
I suppose this would have very few implications for today.
I think there's a lot we could learn from it today. Uchmoch en Yisrael bizman Yishayah. And so too, we're on the top of page Lamed Vav, and so too the Jewish people in the days of Isaiah, hirbu avonot vosifu lachto. They had many sins and they continued to sin. Kmo she'amar, as the verse says, Hoy goy chote am keved avon. Woe to this nation that's sinning, the nation that's weighed down with sin. Vayubam uvde avodah zarah. And amongst them there were idol worshippers. Kmo she'amar, as the verse says, V'achar adelet v'amzuzah sam tzichonech. Behind the doorpost, you put your commemoration, you put your idols. Vayubam kmochen shofchei damim, and there were murderers among the Jews, as the verse says, Ve'atam meratzchim. Isaiah says, I wanted a nation that is going to be faithful. How does the pasuk say? I don't remember. Vayukmochen mechalei shem shamayim. And there were also people who desecrated the name of God. Kmo shamar, as the verse says, the people used to say, Achol v'shato ki machar namut. Eat, drink, for tomorrow we will die. Uvizu mitzvat Hashem yitale. And they desecrated God's mitzvos. Kmo shamar, as the verse says, Sur mine derech hatu mine orach hashbitu mipanenu et kedosh Yisrael. The people said, let's get off the path. We want to cease having before us the Holy One of Israel. They weren't interested in performing mitzvos. They mocked the mitzvos. Ve'im kol ze. And nonetheless, even though the Jewish people at that time were sinning, they were serving idols, they kept idols in their house next to their doorpost, there were murderers amongst them, there were those who desecrated God's name amongst them, and there were those who said, we're not interested in the mitzvos altogether. They mocked the mitzvos. And nonetheless, bishvil she'amar, because Yeshaya said, God tells him, I want you to go as a prophet. Isaiah says, how could I prophesy? I am sitting in the midst of a nation whose lips are defiled. That's all he said. The nation's lips are defiled. Their lips are to me. For saying that, ne'enash, he was punished. Kmo shamar, as the verse says, Vayaof elai echad min asrafim uviyado ritzpa. One of the seraph angels flew to me and he had a burning coal in his hand and he put it to my lips and he said, behold, I've removed your sin, ad v'chatatcha techupar, and I will forgive you for your sin. Lo amar v'chatatcha kupra. God didn't tell him, I have forgiven your sin, ela v'chatatcha techupar, but rather your sin will be forgiven. And the sin of Isaiah for having said, I am amongst the nation whose lips are defiled, was not forgiven till he was killed by Menashe, who killed him by his mouth. Kmo shamru zal, as our sages taught us. V'chasher amad amalach v'limed choval Yoshua ben Yotzadak. And later, in the time of the second temple, the beginning of the second temple, So the high priest was Yoshua ben Yotzadak, and he came before God, and the angel stood up and spoke badly about Yoshua ben Yotzadak, bishvil shayu banav nosim nashim sheinan ruyot lichuna, for his children had married women who were unfit to marry Kohanim. So here he is, the Kohen Gadol, doing the holiest sacrifice, and the angel stands before God and speaks badly about him because his children had wed improperly. What did God do to this angel? God distanced him. Kmo she'amar, as the verse says, Yigar Hashem becha Satan, God roars at you, Satan. Yigar Hashem becha habocher b'Yerushalayim halo ze'ud mutzal me'esh. Says the Rambam, we're in the beginning of the paragraph, line 14. Im kach ne'enshu gdolei ado v'amudei olam. If this was the punishment of the greatest men of the generation, the pillars of the world, Moshe, Eliyahu, Yeshaya, Umalachei Hasharet, and the heavenly angels, כשנסו לדבר על קהל ישראל מעט דברים, when they arose to say about the congregation of Israel, a little bit, וכל שכן קל מקלי עולם, and certainly how much this person will be punished, he is a lightweight, from the lightweights of the world, says the Rambam, that's how he speaks about this person, יתיר לשונו על קהילות ישראל, he will permit his tongue to speak about the congregations of Israel. Chachamim, betalmidim, mechohanim, ulviim. He speaks about the congregation of Fez, who has sages and students and kohanim and levim. Veikraim poshim ulshayim vegoim ufsulei edut. Vechofrim b'shem elokei Yisrael. And he dares call them in his letter. They are rebellious, they are wicked, they are goyim, they are disqualified from testimony, they are denying the existence of the God of Israel. Veikhtov adabar hazeh bichtav yado. And he wrote this in his own handwriting. What will be his punishment? These people didn't rebel against God because they wanted something pleasant. They wanted some enjoyment. And they didn't leave the faith or distance themselves from it because they wanted some elevated status or some worldly pleasure, some timely pleasure. They've had to travel because of the sword, because of the outstretched sword, the bow that's being pulled against them, and the weight of the war. And this person didn't know that these people, elu shelo pashu birtzonam, they didn't rebel willfully. God is not going to leave them. For God does not mock or disgrace the affliction of the poor. Kmo shamru aleihem ha-shalom, as our sages, may they rest in peace, say, Vayarach et reach begadav, the verse says, he smelled the smell of Jacob's clothing. Al tikrei begadav, don't read the verse that he smelled the smell of his clothing, Ela bogedav, but rather the smell of those that rebel against him. And nonetheless, he blessed Jacob, even with those that rebel against him. Ela amar kol ma she'amar uvada milibo. The Rambam concludes about this person at this paragraph. He says, everything the guy says, invented. It's his own inventions. The guy just spoke his heart. Has nothing to do with Judaism. The fact that he quotes sources, we just proved it's all ridiculous. Everything this person says about the congregation of Fez, he invented it all. And if you want to see the source, that's Koheles Rabbah. No, the source for this I didn't quote. No, I did quote it on 3. It's very interesting, the Rambam quoted it. If we'd have more time, we'd have to analyze a little bit how the Rambam divided from that Gemara in Sanhedrin. On source number 3, we quoted the Gemara in Sanhedrin, this Gemara that the Rambam quoted, but we don't have time for it now. We're making a run for it. Just one thought. It's interesting that the angel spoke only against the Kohen Gadol, against the high priest. Nonetheless, the Rambam equates it with speaking about the masses of the Jewish people. We might infer from here that the Rambam is teaching us that the Kohen Gadol is representation of the Jewish people. And when even an angel speaks against him, and even those claims were legitimate, nonetheless, it's as though he's speaking against all of the Jewish people because the high priest is our representative. Let's move forward. Umeam fusam gamken. And what's also famous is Shrabimeon nitpas be'etshmad mashmadot shnergu be'em chachmei Yisrael. that Rabbi Meir was caught at a time when they made decrees against the Jewish people, and through those decrees they murdered sages of Israel. Ve'amru lo makirav. So those who thought they recognized him, they said, "Halo ata Meir?" And they said to him, "You're Meir, you're the famous Rabbi Meir." Ve'amar, what did Rabbi Meir said? "Eini, no, that's not me." Amru lo, they told him, "Im ken echol mize." Then eat some of this. Ve'aya lifneim chazir, and there was pork before them. Ve'amar lehem ochal beratzon, he said, "I'll willingly eat, no problem." Ve'rabbi atzmo kilu ochel ve'lo achal, and he made believe he was eating and he didn't eat. He'd dip his index finger and stick his forefinger in his mouth. Dip one finger, stick the other finger in his mouth. He kept switching, so they thought he's eating pork. He said, this is delicious. They didn't realize the finger he was dipping in the pork wasn't the finger he was sticking in his mouth. And the truth is, he could have eaten, but he didn't. Ve'en sefek Rabbi Meir etzel ze atzanua hayodea amitat haTorah goy. And undoubtedly, this person would consider Rabbi Meir, this person who is, the Rambam again seems to be calling the person mockingly a tzanua, who claims to know the truth of the Torah. Undoubtedly, he would call Rabbi Meir of goy. Shekach katav, because this is what this person wrote. Shemishu goy bagalui uvaseto Yisrael, that anyone who overtly acts like a goy and covertly is Jewish, hareyu kegoy, he's a goy. Mipnei shavodat hayel etzlo bagalui uvaseter, because this person says, when you serve God, it must be overtly and covertly. Vestirutza Rabbi Meir, and you see in this instance, Rabbi Meir hid the fact that he was keeping the Torah. He made it seem like he wasn't. Umeamfusam gamken, and what's also famous is, Shrabbi Eliezer nitpas laminut, that Rabbi Eliezer was captured by the Minim. They wanted to force him to believe their faith. Asher hi yoter kasha me'avodah zarah, that's even worse than idol worship. Vizet. And why is this so? Shaminim, the minim, yachitem Hashem, may God cut them down. Itlotzitzu badatot, they make fun of all religion. Ve'yomru, and they say, yavila mitasek ben, anyone who deals with religion is a fool. Meshuga lamedotan, anyone who learns religion is nuts. Ve'hem yevatlu hanvuah legamrei, and they totally don't accept the concept of prophecy. Ve'aya Rabbi Eliezer yadua ve'gadol b'chokhmot, and Rabbi Eliezer was known in, he was famous for his greatness and wisdoms. And they honored him greatly because they knew how whole his wisdom was. And they told him, how could you be on levels of wisdom and believe in the Torah and go after the Torah? How could that be? That's what they asked Rabbi Eliezer. So he answered them something that confused them. So he was captured by them, and he had no choice. So he said things that were confusing, and they thought he means to say that he believes their belief. Everything he said, he meant the truth. But they misunderstood him, and they thought he meant to say he agrees with them. He didn't mean anything other than that. And this happened, the story is recounted in the Medrash of Kohelet. This is what the Medrash says. Once happened that Rabbi Eliezer was captured by the Minim. And the governor took him up to his castle. He asked him, a sage like you deals with things like this. Rabbi Eliezer said to him, "Ne'eman alai adayan, I trust the judge." Meaning, he meant, I trust God, who's judging all of us. He gave us the Torah, and I trust him. The governor thought he meant to say, I trust you, you're the judge, because right now he was judging him. He was telling him, I'm going to execute you if you don't accept my faith. So he said, I trust the judge. He meant, I trust God. The governor thought he meant, I trust you, whatever you say, I'll take your faith. The governor thought he was talking about him. So the governor said to him, Rebbe, hoil ve'emantem bi, being that you believe me, af ani hayti tamea lomar, if shals shezaken ze ta'a, achar dvarim halalu, I'll tell you the truth, I was wondering, how could it be you're so smart, you're foolish enough to follow the Torah? I was convinced it can't be that you're for real and you're keeping on the Torah. Amar lo dimos arei ata patur. So the governor said to him, fine, I free you, you're free to go. You see over here in this story, Rabbi Eliezer made believe before this governor that he accepted their faith. When in essence, everything he said, his intention was for heaven. He didn't say anything that clearly indicated he was serving idols, But he said it in a way that they could misunderstand him. Uminut gdola me'avodah zara kmo sheitber b'chol ha'talmud. And minut, as the Rambam said earlier, is even worse than idol worship, as is clear throughout the Talmud. Ve'en safek shabi Eliezer tzazeh kasher pasul eidut. And undoubtedly, this kosher one, again, the Rambam gives him all these titles, it seems, in mockery. Undoubtedly, this kosher one would say that Rabbi Eliezer is not kosher. Rabbi Eliezer is possible for testimony, kmo shehu katav b'chiboro, just as he wrote in his letter. And in this situation where we're being persecuted, they don't want us to show as though we're serving idol worship. All that they want from us is that we show that we believe what they say. And they know that we're lying. They know that we don't believe what they believe. But they want us to fool the king. That we should speak as though we believe him. And they should seduce him with their mouths and with their tongues. They should lie to him. And it is known what happened to the Jewish people in the days of Nebuchadnezzar the wicked. And that all the Jews in Babylon bowed to the idol, milvad Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah, except for Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Kmo shamar Hashem yitale, as God says, lo ata yevosh Yaakov. Now is not the time that they will be shamed, but rather when they all bow to that idol. Ve'ulai yecharash v'amasgera, yu b'chlan mi shesagadim ayu sham b'vavel. And maybe the great rabbis and the great leaders were amongst those that bowed if they were there in Babylon. We never found anyone who called the rabbis of that generation, the generation of Nebuchadnezzar, those that were exiled to Babylon. We never found anyone that called them wicked or goyim or disqualified for testimony. And God didn't consider it that they had sinned and worshipped idol worship, for they were forced. And this is what a rabbi said. They did it externally. The Gemara says they were punished for externally bowing to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, even though they didn't believe in it. But God said they only did it externally, so I'll only punish them externally. What did God do? God made an external decree of Haman. No one ever got killed from that decree. Nothing ever happened bad, but they thought something bad was going to happen. So just like they externally did something bad, God says, I'll do something bad externally. Internally, nothing bad happened there.
That's what they're saying. In the case of the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, they should have given up their lives, as we say, and given God for idol worship. But being that they didn't, since it was only what they did was wrong, but it wasn't.
Right. The Rambam will spell it out a little bit later. Right. That's where the Rambam said it. But this person, he must hold God accountable. How could God have done it externally? You notice the Rambam's, he's writing a letter to the masses, so he's including a little bit of humor. He's saying this guy must have a claim against God. How come God only did it externally against the Jews in the days of Haman? This guy must have a question about God. Why didn't God really wipe them out? They served idol worship, according to this guy. They didn't make God's service famous. They should have stood there and said, no, we're not bowing. Like that guy said, like the prophet said, woe to the one that fights, is the one who created him, who fashioned him. All he is some earthenware of the earthenware of the earth. Does the material turn to the one who fashioned it and tell it what you're doing? No, that's the way you're fashioned. Obviously, God knows what he's doing. By the same token, God knew what he was doing when God didn't punish them beyond that in the days of Nebuchadnezzar and Haman. And it's also famous what happened to the Jewish people under the kingdom of the Greeks, who were wicked, from the great horrible decrees. And amongst the decrees were that a person is not allowed to close the door to his home, so that people would never be able to be in seclusion to perform mitzvahs in hiding. So the Greeks declared everyone has to take the doors off their homes. So one of the reasons was they didn't want people to be able to be with their wives in private. We say we have sanctity in the Jewish home. Matovu alecha Yaakov. They said no. There's nothing to be ashamed about. So they forced us to take the doors off our homes. But the Rambam over here is going a different route. He's saying they made us take the doors off our homes so that no one could ever perform a mitzvah in hiding. You could never hide and perform mitzvot. And there were many decrees like this. Nonetheless, our sages never referred to those people who were forced by the Greeks not to perform mitzvot. Our sages never called them lo goyim velo reshaim. They never said they were goyim. They never said they were wicked. Ela, but rather our sages said they were tzaddikim gemurim, completely righteous. And our sages even prayed for those people. And they instituted in our prayer of Hanukkah a special prayer about the miracles that God made for that generation. And in the conclusion of that prayer, what do we say? God gave the wicked Greeks in the hand of the Jews of that generation were tzaddikim. So you see, even though the Jews of that generation were not performing mitzvot because they were being persecuted by the Greeks, the sages in prayer instituted that we refer to that generation as tzaddikim. And if not for the fact that we agreed initially that we would not recount everything that this guy wrote, hishmatim lecha, I would, if not for the fact that we've already said we won't, I would let you know what he said. And I would expand, and you'd see how foolish a person can get to this extent, till he reaches a point where he could discuss such things, and he dares answer when someone asks him the question the way we've mentioned until now. And he answered answers that are not fitting, and he brings proofs, testimony which is really false. He brings proof from the mitzvah of one who curses his parents, of mitzvah tzitzit and the mitzvah of tzitzis, of mitzvah tefillin. He tries to bring proof from the mitzvah of tefillin, of choresh psho v'chamo v'arbat beima, and he tries to bring proof from one who plows with an ox and a donkey, and one who makes mixed breeds. As though the one who asked him, please compile for me a song. That encompasses Yimne ben kol ha-mitzvot, that encompasses all the mitzvot. So the guy spoke so lengthily, it's as though he's compiling some kind of song that encompasses the mitzvot, the Rambam says. V'amal kmo chen she'ishmaelim yesh lam avodah zara b'Mekka u'b'mkumot acharim. And this guy said that the Muslims have idols in Mecca and other places. Kilu ha-shoel yishaleu im yaleh l'chok sham olo. As though the guy was asking him, should I go up to Mecca to celebrate or not? That wasn't the question. What's he going off on so many tangents? And another thing he says in passing is that Muhammad, and you notice the Rambam and others always called Muhammad the crazy one, he killed 24,000 Jews. As though the guy was asking him, does Muhammad have a portion in the world to come? What difference does it make that Muhammad killed 24,000 Jews? That wasn't the point. That wasn't the question. And he says many things that have nothing to do with the point at hand. And really, this person should have taken note of the ways of Shlomo, Beomro, when King Solomon said, "Al tebe'el al picha, don't be swift with your mouth." And your heart shouldn't be swift to say something before God. If only this man had taken note of this verse, Haya yodea, he would have known. Ki kol mi sheyashiv al sheila, that anyone that answers a question, o yadim di isu ve'eter, or discusses whether something is prohibited or permissible, shu motzi davar lifnei Elokim. In answering, he is really answering before God. And he would have taken care before he would have said so much, v'lo haya nofel b'ma shenafal, he wouldn't have fallen in what he really felt. V'Hashem yodea va'ed, and God knows in testimony and in truth, she'afilu cheref v'gidef yoter m'ma she'gidef, that even had he blasphemed and cursed beyond what he cursed, v'etiach v'osif dorim yoter m'ma she'osif, and he really would have just smeared and added beyond what he added, lo haya kashe aleinu dvarav, we wouldn't have found it so difficult what he said, v'lo bikashnu ezer la'atzmenu b'shum panim, and we wouldn't have really girdled ourselves in any way, aval amanu, we would have said, nishkeva bevoshtenu utchasenu klimatenu, we'll sleep in our shame, we'll be covered with our shame, ki la'shem elokeinu chatanu anachnu v'avotenu, for we have sinned. We wouldn't have gotten up against him. Meaning, so what? So it's a disgrace that he spoke this way, but we wouldn't have said anything. So he disgraced us. But rather we would have said, okay, fine, he meant for the sake of heaven. Because really we know what we're worth, and we won't knock it down. We know our sins, the Rambam says. We know our forefathers' sins. The Rambam says, in essence, we know we're not perfect. And as such, we wouldn't have really taken him to task. If not for the fact that he wrote one point, and on that one point, it's not fitting that we should turn a blind eye and be silent about it. And that is the point that he said. He said, these people who are being persecuted and as such do not perform mitzvot, as such externally they're not behaving Jewish. He said, if they pray in their homes, if in quiet, covertly, they do pray to God, they have no merits in that. They have no wages. And they are sinning in doing that. V'yadanu, and we know. Ki kol mi. So that is the point, says the Rambam, that forces us to respond. Because we know, ki kol mi sheichaber sefer, that anyone that composes a book, yiyu dvarav emet o sheker, it makes no difference whether what he says is true or lie, en safek sheifusam b'nei adam. Undoubtedly, it will become famous. V'zeo masher ba dot anifsadot b'nei adam. That's why people have so many false thoughts. That's why people believe so many lies. D'fishen mincha uven adot anifsadot, ela ma sheyuchak b'sefer. Because even though you might be saying the truth, the distance between you and the truth is what was written in the book. Meaning once something's written, people accept it, it becomes famous, and it takes weight. And undoubtedly in writing a book, a person could easily make a cult. That's why we were concerned that his works will reach one of these days the hands of the common folk. What they'll see is that they have no wages in praying. And when he says that, what he will cause is that they will stop praying to Hashem. And by the same token, according to what he said, the people will find out that they have no wages for any mitzvot, and they will stop performing mitzvot altogether. And that is why I have to respond. So what the Rambam taught us to this point, and unfortunately we're out of time, what the Rambam taught us is that he disagrees. Even a Jew that sins, we have to be careful not to speak badly against him, certainly against the Jewish people. And the Rambam disagrees with all of this person's derivations. You cannot say that because they are overtly not Jewish, what they do covertly is wrong. And Be'ezrat Hashem, next time we will conclude where the Rambam really finishes his claims against him and then breaks down 5 points of how to understand what we are supposed to do at times like these.